Linda Porrell. We're going to claim Dubii Lechuga also because she belonged to our chapter as well. She was an extremely unique individual. She never said no in terms of fundraising. Nothing was impossible for her, and she was a tireless advocate.
This is, I think Julia's just about to. Mentioned Ken Metz, tireless worker for this organization, as has been said. And when I was elected as first vice last year, Ken had just been elected to fill the last year of my position when he had a stroke.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Okay, sweetie.
Too close to the mic. This is Steve Fort. Just a brief mention of Robert Dashney, the storyteller that some of us, John Dashney. And he died a month or two ago. I know it's not in California, but we all remember him.
The computer.
Anyone else? All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for all of those. Frank Welty, are you in the room or nearby? Okay. Could you make your way up to the front of the room? Thank you. And Lisa, do we have a door? All right. Well, let's do one then.
Hey. So.
I haven't won anything in at least 24 hours.
When are we going to the casino?
How about we do a Starbucks ceramic mug with a $25 gift card donated by Greater Bakersfield?
That sounds good.
My name is in there 5 or 6 times.
Oh. The winner is Eric Skivers.
All right. Eric, are you here?
The following chapters have been credentialed for this year's CCB convention, and I will go through them quickly, and then if there are any questions at the end, we can take that up. Chapter or affiliate, Active Blind Inland Valleys. President, Alan Ramos. Number of home chapter members, 11. Number of votes, 5. Delegate, Christy Crespin. Alternate delegate, Nellie Emerson. Nominating committee representative, Christy Crespin. Chapter affiliate, ACB Capital Chapter. President, Sylvia Reese. Number of home chapter members, 41. Number of votes, 8. Delegate, Joni Pachi. Alternate delegate, Sylvia Reese. Nominating committee representative, Eugene Lozano Jr. Chapter or affiliate, Bayview Chapter. President, Laura Lee Kastner. Number of home chapter members, 41. Number of votes, 8. Delegate, Maria Mitchell. Alternate delegate, Connie Skeen. Nominating committee representative, Maria Mitchell. Braille Revival League of California. President, Mike Keithley. Number of members, 19. Number of votes, 5. Delegate, Linda Perrell. Alternate delegate, none. Nominating committee representative, Linda Perrell. California Council of Blind Students. President, Robin Patchy. Members, 10. 5 votes. Delegate, Robin Patchy. Alternate delegate, Andy Tom. Nominating committee representative, Robin Patchy. California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, President Bernice Kandarian. Number of members not listed. Number of votes 5. Delegate Penny Valdovinos. Alternate delegate Eugene Lozano Jr. Nominating Committee Representative Penny Valdovinos. California Library Users of America, President Bonnie Rennie. Number of members 37. Votes 5. Delegate Bonnie Rennie. Alternate delegate none. Nominating Committee Representative Bonnie Rennie. Contra Costa Chapter, President Joel Isaac. Number of members 12. Number of votes 5. Delegate Rosemary Chase. Alternate delegate Gabe Griffith. Nominating Committee Representative Gabe Griffith. East Los Angeles Chapter, President Stephanie Rood. Members 38. Votes 7. Excuse me, 8. Sorry, my mistake. Delegate Mona Craig. Alternate delegate none. Nominating Committee Representative Mona Craig. Fresno Chapter, President Sarah Harris. Members 33. Votes 7. Delegate Jamie Gibson Barrows. Alternate delegate Veronica Hernandez. Nominating Committee Representative Sarah Harris. Glendale Burbank Chapter, President Anthony Signorello. Members 33. Votes 7. Delegate Anthony Signorello. Alternate delegate Kevin Berkery, excuse me.
Steve Berkery.
Never mind. Nominating Committee Representative Anthony Signorello. Golden State Guide Dog Handlers Incorporated, President Alice Turner. Members 50, votes 5. Delegate Diane Deutsch. Alternate delegate William Elliott. Nominating Committee Representative Alice Turner. Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind, President Chris Fendrick. Number of Home Chapter members 20, votes 5. Delegate Paul Leung. Alternate delegate John Ross. Nominating Committee Representative Paul Leung. Greater Long Beach Chapter, President Robert Wendt, number of chapters, members 22, number of votes 5, delegate Robert Wendt, alternate delegate Jessica Marquez, nominating committee representative Robert Wendt. Greater Los Angeles Chapter, President Steve Bauer, members 30, votes 6, delegate Guillermo Robles, alternate delegate Pamela Metz, Nominating Committee Representative Guillermo Robles. High Desert Chapter, President Taharani Dobbins. Members 35, votes 7. Delegate Robert Acosta, alternate delegate Ruth Ann Acosta. Nominating Committee Representative Robert Acosta. Humboldt Council of the Blind, President Gavin Smiley. Members 10, votes 5. Delegate Gavin Smiley. Alternate none. Nominating Committee Representative Gavin Smiley. Inland Empire Chapter, President Christine Bailey. Members 11, votes 5. Delegate Christine Bailey, alternate delegate Idel Galavez, thank you. Nominating Committee Representative Christine Bailey. Orange County Chapter, President Andrea DeKlotz. Members 18, votes 5. Delegate Larry Gassman, alternate Gail Crossan. Nominating Committee Representative Andrea DeKlotz. Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California, President Paul Patchy Jr. Members 10, votes 5. Delegate Paul Patchy Jr., alternate delegate Joni Patchy, nominating committee representative Paul Patchy Jr. Redwood Empire Chapter, President Diane Deutsch, members 24, votes 5. Delegate Annette English, alternate delegate Thomas G. Luparello, nominating committee representative Diane Deutsch. San Bernardino, California Council of the Blind, President Deborah Gossett, members 39, votes 8. Delegate Deborah Gossett, alternate delegate Theodore Wilbrecht, nominating committee representative Carol Savey. San Francisco Chapter, President Vita Zavali, members 34, votes 7. Delegate Lisa Cushman, alternate delegate Joshua Saunders, nominating committee representative David Jackson. San Gabriel Valley Chapter, President Phil Obregon, members 39, votes 8. Delegate Debbie Obregon, alternate delegate Phil Obregon, nominating committee representative Phil Obregon. Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, President Susan Glass, members 63, votes 13. Delegate Rob Turner, alternate delegate Mike Keithley, nominating committee representative Rob Turner. Yosemite Gateway Council of the Blind, President Tanya Williams, members 24, votes 5. Delegate Margaret Buckman Garcia, alternate delegate Gail Miller, nominating committee representative Margaret Buckman Garcia. And the following chapters were not seated at the convention: Golden Gate Chapter, Greater Lakewood Chapter, San Diego Chapter, and San Diego Braille Club. And this concludes the Credentials Committee report.
Thank you, Frank. Are there any comments on the credentials report? Oh, okay. I hear a couple. Can we get, I didn't hear who the yeses were, but I think Vito is second. I'm not sure who the first one was.
Hi. One of the affiliates
Hold on. Could you please say your name? Could you please say your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Vita.
Thank you, Vita.
I forgot my name, I guess. Gabe, what? One of the affiliates, it said unlisted for the amount of members. I guess I don't know enough. Is that acceptable?
Yes, that was one of the statewide special
events. Or is it that they've chosen not to list?
It was the CCCLV, California Council of Citizens with Low Vision. They are a statewide special interest affiliate. And
they didn't include their membership count on their credentials form.
They did not include their membership count on their credentials form. I do believe that the roster, is it the credentials form? Does that require the number of members? But they're a special interest affiliate.
So I believe that as long as
we can verify that they have at least 10 members, then the number of votes is going to be 5 regardless.
Right. So as long as you get a roster.
Yes.
Yeah, as long as we have as long as we have a roster to verify that they're a valid affiliate, then.
Thank you for the explanation.
And was there a second person?
Yeah, hold on, Gabe, here we come. I have a question. I'm Marnie Wolosik. I'm with the Greater Marysville Council of the Blind. And our credentials when on the roster said that we have 20 members. We actually have 25.
The information I received was 20.
That was turned in.
The information that I'm hearing that we received was 20 members, but until you reach 28 members, you would be getting 5 votes anyway. So the number of votes wouldn't change regardless whether you had 20,
right, but I was just saying that they said that we had 20 members. The 20 members is wrong. We actually have 25. We're okay, and they were turned in.
Okay.
Turned in on the roster or turned in on the credentials?
Turned in on the roster or the credentials form?
And if it wasn't changed, they should have been in credentials yesterday.
Well, our delegates aren't here. So I was just asking the question in regards to that.
Okay. Like I said, the number of votes wouldn't change. So I guess at this point I can just say thank you for letting us know. And and we'll try and look into it, but the number of votes wouldn't change. Any others? Charlene has a question. Can we get her mic?
Yes, the San Diego Braille Club had sent in their dues, and I was able to obtain a copy of the receipt. And my understanding is that we had sent in our roster. That we have an updated one, but we had sent it in. I was just wanting to present that. And
yes, I will add to that. And I'm glad that Charlene brought it up, because I discussed with this Charlene, and they did send in a credentials form. And when I inquired at the state office which chapters had not sent in their information, they were on the list of those that had not sent in their either dues and or roster. However, Charlene has presented me with email information indicating that they did do so. So I don't know the dates.
I do know the one for the dues payment that was sent on May the 2nd. And I don't know exactly when the roster was sent in. But the date on there was May 2nd, 2020. I mean, 19. We're thinking ahead. 2019.
Do they have delegates who wish to receive it?
Yes, Charlene
That's
Ornelas.
Me.
Yes, Charlene Ornelas. And it was my feeling that because it seems like they were making a good faith effort to provide the necessary information, that it would be appropriate for Charlene to present them to the council to be included in as being credentialed. And I do have that information if you'd like me to read that.
Frank, I'll let you as the chair rule.
Okay, it's the opinion of the chair that I will seat the chapter, given their good faith effort to provide the necessary information.
Could you read their
point of order?
Jeff has a point of order. Then could you read their?
Yes, Jeff.
Yes. Is the opinion of the chair, or was the opinion of your committee? It's the committee that makes that ruling, not the chair.
I don't know that there's any.
Presently, I think I am the committee.
Okay. In that case, in that case, you're fine.
Yeah.
Hold on, friend. Do you want to check with your committee?
Okay. So I will.
The entire committee.
I will provide the credential information, and that is that the San Diego Braille Club is the chapter. The president is Brian Ostosh. Ostosh, number of members 19, votes 5, delegate Charlene Ornelas, alternate none, nominating committee representative was Charlene Ornelas, and so I recommend that that the report be accepted with the inclusion of the San Diego Braille Club.
So moved.
A second. No, it would be a second, Jeff, because he reports.
He's making a motion.
Yeah. All right, so we have a motion from the committee and a second to seat the San Diego Braille Club.
To accept
the credential of the...
Was that the credential report?
I would say to accept the credential report with the inclusion of the San Diego Braille Club.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second from the chair of the credentials committee and a second to accept the credentials report with the addition of the San Diego Braille Club being seated. Is there any further discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And any abstentions, say whatever you want. All right, hearing none, we have accepted the credentials committee report. I feel like every time I set this mic down on the table, I'm getting feedback.
Yeah, you are.
And it goes away when I lift up. Okay.
And Frank, do you have those bundle that you'll leave here? All right, awesome.
I've stolen the mic because I think, even though we've lost a couple of chapters, we haven't seated this many chapters in years. This is very good.
Yes, that was a great job. Thank you, Frank. All right, next up, and I will only let him speak on one condition.
Somebody replaces me.
No. Do we have a score on the Warriors game, Jeff? Okay, so they were ahead by two. Okay, now, Jeff, you're not allowed to follow the Warriors game for the next few minutes because next up is the ACB report from the American Council of the Blind.
We don't have a sponsor.
58-56 Warriors, all right.
58-56, Warriors are up by two.
All right, thank you.
Nice try getting out of the club,
Jeff. As the board, right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Jeff is giving us a... okay, attention, folks. Attention. Okay. Sorry, I should have been more explicit here. Jeff is going to be giving us a report from the American Council of the Blind, another person in here that wears many different hats, and this evening he is wearing his American Council of the Blind hat, board member hat.
Yeah, so I first, and of course many of you heard her earlier, but I bring you formal greetings from President Kim Charlson and the entire board of ACB. So we are thrilled at this great turnout and the convention that we are having. Want to bring you up to date on a few happenings within ACB. ACB hosted the fall regional World Blind Union regional meeting at its Alexandria office on November 30th, 2018. Wow. Yeah, it was well attended, and I think it's important that ACB do that to show, you know, that we are truly leaders in our community. With the departure of Tony Stevens, we selected a new Advocacy and Government Affairs Director, Clark Grassfall, and Mr. Grassfall started in that position on February 11th. He's hit the ground running. He and Claire Stanley, the assistant in that position, Clara being a California girl from Orange County, in fact, a former CCB scholarship winner, as a matter of fact, yes. Yeah. And so they have done a number of things. They have podcasts. I have been negligent. I haven't sent them all out, but I've sent some of them out, and I hope people have listened to them. They are really fascinating and on a variety of topics. Clark Grassfall and Claire and myself my committee, I'm the chair of the ACB Advocacy Committee, we decided that we would be well served to hold an open advocacy call in April to sort of let people know what the committee is doing. Our meetings are generally not public because we are discussing litigation strategies and things like that, things that you can't necessarily discuss openly. And that call had a lot of people on it, and I have to say that a good 30 or 40% were from CCB. And I was thrilled. So, yeah, you guys really turned out. And it was a great call. And it was kind of interesting because today, just as Michael Nunez's questions were largely Uber-related, Uber and Lyft-related, a lot of the comments on that call were largely Uber and Lyft-related. So that still appears to be a major issue on people's minds, both in this state and around the country. Okay. On June 10th, a woman that many of you know, Cindy Van Winkle, Cindy will be starting as the new ACB membership coordinator. This is kind of funny. I did my notes quickly. I wrote membership chronicle. But fortunately, I didn't say that. But I did think you needed to hear it because I thought it was funny. So, and I think Cindy, with all her, the passion that Cindy has, all of you know, and I know, having worked with her for many years on the auction committee, that she is an extremely knowledgeable, organized, and really brings a lot to the table. So I think that she is going to do. Yes, somebody else knows it too. Maybe that's a call from her. I don't know. but anyway, I think she's going to do an outstanding job, and I think that is a great pick. But why she'd want to spend her winters in Minnesota, that's another story altogether. So. Next on the list, plans for the convention, the ACB convention in Rochester are being finalized as we speak. How many of you are going to join me and Judy and Gabe up here in Rochester?
Oh,
yeah. Great. Yeah, great. I think it's going to be an excellent convention, a lot of great tours, a lot of fascinating and informative seminars and workshops, things like that. I'm looking forward to going. So July 5th to 13th, rooms still are available, I'm pretty sure. And, I hope we get as large a turnout from CCB as we can.
In fact, Jeff, Janet Dickelman has just sent out notices yesterday saying they have to release the remaining rooms Monday, the 10th. So if you need a room, you need to contact Janet directly.
Yeah, you may end up, there are two hotels, but they're close together and they're connected through the convention center. And so, it doesn't really matter. Some events are going to be in one hotel, some in the other. So wherever you can get a room, it's going to be fine. Mitch Pomerantz represented ACB at the recent World Blind Union regional meeting in Trinidad. That meeting was held on May 31, so he and Donna were just there last weekend. And speaking of WBU, the regional president, Fred Schroeder, will be our international guest. Many of you know Fred. He has been a past leader, director of RSA, commissioner, I guess is the proper term. He has been a leader in NFB for a long time. And, of course, he is from California originally. He hasn't lived here in quite a while, but he is from California. So our president, not the one sitting next to me, but the ACB president, Kim Charlson, won the prestigious Francis Joseph Campbell Award from the American Library Association for distinguished achievement in the field of accessible library services for people who are blind or print disabled. She's an amazing librarian and just has an amazing knowledge and passion for her field. I've just learned a lot of it through osmosis over the years, some of the things she does and some of the things she knows, and it's truly amazing. So these are just a few of the things going on. The legislative front is a little bit barren. I mean, we all know how much Congress is getting done these days, don't we? Yeah. I could talk about that for about 10 seconds. But, you know, things are happening, and, you know, people are introducing legislation, and then it's just going into the brown file, seems to me. But ACB is still working hard, getting a number of meetings on various topics, working with various commissions on issues such as service animals and, you know, in-flight entertainment, still working on audio description type issues. So the work goes on a daily basis back in Alexandria, and those of you who will either be in Rochester or listen in on ACB radio will be able to hear more about the specifics of what the leaders and staff of ACB are doing, and I urge you wherever you may be in July to listen in. Remember, you can listen in even on Alexa. So I hope she doesn't respond. Okay. I hope if I have a couple minutes, I'll take a question. Otherwise, Judy can...
Yeah, we can take a question or two.
I want to know what the score of the game is.
Now you talk so long, it's changed.
Toronto.
Oh. I didn't want to know that.
It's only the third quarter, though.
Okay. I vote to take that back.
Yeah, move on. Strike it from the record.
Yeah. Jury rule disregard. Okay. Did I hear a question for Jeff on the ACB report out there?
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Let's hear it for all the stuff ACB is doing. Okay. And a minute ago, Charlene was mentioning 2020. She was only a couple of minutes ahead on the agenda. The next thing up here is that Judy, and I think she's going to draft Jeff, even though he doesn't know it until now. He may have just found out. But we're going to take a few minutes here to discuss the 2020 convention that you may have heard we're going to change up a little bit. So to discuss further details and probably take a few questions on that, I'm going to pass the mic to my right about 2 feet to Judy.
I'm back. I'm going to start by saying we are just going to evolve a lot of this over the next year. The truth is, for many of the things that will be happening for our multi-site one-day convention in 2020, we don't know yet. The committee will be working hard to make sure it's a great convention, but frankly, it's new territory. It's uncharted territory, and so I may not have all the answers, but we will definitely take all the concerns into heart. And we will expand the planning committee, the convention planning committee, to include people from the various regions that we bring on board for the next year. So we will keep those leaders in the loop. You all know that May 2nd next year, we will be having multiple locations. When I originally felt we couldn't sign the contract, much as I'd love to come back to this hotel, we'll definitely keep them in mind for a future contract. It's one of the best contracts we've ever had. I didn't feel we could sign that contract, so I recommended to the board that we, in fact, look at a different convention format, and that will be this one-day linked convention format. We originally were going to have it for 3 locations. You know, we thought 1 in Northern California, 2 in Southern California, but as the Phoenix Committee and others developed input, it was suggested, look, let's have as many places as we feel members, you know, would like and that they could get to from their homes, especially, say, in Southern California where the paratransit doesn't run very late, you know, and people need to be able to be close to the location where they're going to be involved. I'm going to repeat what I said at the board meeting last night, that to hold a convention, our old and new bylaws, if we adopt them, whatever bylaws we have, whatever constitution we work under, will say that to hold a convention, we need to have 50 members and one-third of the delegates. Now, the delegates will also be counted in the 50 because they have individual votes. So we need 50 bodies in however many locations we'll have, and a third of the delegates in however many locations we have. Now, obviously, the delegates for San Diego won't be in San Francisco, but their votes will count as convention votes. So everybody will get their vote that is in person. We still cannot hold telephonic voting, unfortunately. But we will link all the locations by Zoom. We will set up voting in each location. We will obviously have a morning and an afternoon session. We haven't worked out all the details, but it will be a one-day convention next year. And we are in the process of getting folks to check to see what those locations might be. And I want to see if Jeff has anything to add, but I want to go right away to questions that you might have. Jeff, you might want to remind people that we're going to have about the prospect of getting new locations. So I'm going to pass you
about
the mic.
I have one.
Okay. The fact that we're going to ask people to submit.
Oh, yeah. We're going to sort of work out criteria in the very near future, because we don't have a whole lot of time to waste. Work out criteria that convention sites are going to need, and we'll put out a general sort of proposal and ask people to come back with, you know, what, you know, it'll include what where the site's going to be, does it have internet capability, which will be a must, who's going to be in charge of the site, and there'll be others, but we'll work them out. And you know, if you meet the criteria, you know, we'll certainly have one member from each convention site as part of the convention steering committee for next year. So we'll choose our sites based on interest and whether that site can, you know, complete the list of criteria that we send out.
So we're ready to take questions from the floor. We're anxious to have your questions and concerns. Okay. We can, either one of us, field these, Jeff.
Hi, this is Lisa Cushman. Is the convention planning committee going to be doing anything to facilitate the social aspects of the convention?
That is something that a number of people have asked about. In other words, some areas may suggest that what we will probably do is make sure that some hotel or in the region will offer some reduced rates. Usually you can call up a hotel and say, we have maybe 15, 20 people, we'd like a lower rate. We can't negotiate one contract, but a lot of areas may want to plan something in the evening, say before the convention or later in the evening after we officially wrap up. But Lisa, that is, again, one of those areas. We definitely want to include some social aspects so we don't lose all of that, but the details. But it is, the details aren't worked out, but it is definitely on our radar. And please ask a follow-up question if you don't think I did a good enough job of, if you think I'm just, you know, not being clear enough.
Judy?
Yes, Peter.
Do you think, I'm hoping that we can have an opportunity for a couple vendors to have a little vendor tables.
That's an interesting thing. That is something we want to try to not exclude anything. So that is something also that we need to work on. After all, if a vendor, say, could come to a location and be there, we would definitely like to have that. That would probably be one of the questions we would ask is, do they think they could get some kind of, it would probably need to be, of course, local vendors.
I sort of envision, and we haven't made firm decisions on all this, but I envision allowing, in both of these areas, for example, a lot of local flexibility subject to approval, because we can't have something that a local entity or local site is doing that will somehow interfere with the logistics, because they really need to run smoothly. But subject to that, I think we need to allow as much creativity on the local site level as we can.
And did you have a follow-up, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a... Also, we need to weigh...
No, he's gone.
So I'm hoping that we can figure out a way to involve some special interest affiliates, too. I mean, because that's... I mean, the convention is their one source for an in-person meeting.
Peter, we that came up last night, as you know. It's clearly an issue, and it's clearly something that is going to involve some modifications for at least a year in how special interests do their work. But as I said, I think we need to plan fairly soon a special interest affiliate president's meeting with the convention committee to sort of brainstorm ways of diminishing the impact, the negative impacts that this kind of convention could have on the special interest affiliates.
Okay, Bob Acosta here. I know the committee is going to consider all this. Let's, you know, I love Zoom, so, but I hope we get back to face-to-face conventions very quickly. But guide dog relief area, where do they eat lunch? You know, all this stuff sounds simple. Do they have to go to a hotel the night before? Are the sites going to be that far away? Things like that. I know the committee will consider it, but I wanted to bring it to your attention. Thank you.
Yeah, these are all important considerations. We do know that, and we know this is fraught with peril, and that's why we do need to consider these as carefully as possible, and that's why we are going to have criteria that sites must meet, so we don't get into a situation where we have a site hanging out there and things are really going awry.
In addition to the minutes, I am absolutely taking notes, and these are all reminders of things we absolutely need to consider. This is very helpful. I heard your name, Joshua, and thank you for saying your name instead of ours, because that helps us know.
And,
there you go.
My question has to do with, has some thought been put into how the voting process is going to work? Let's say we have an issue that is actually applies to the entire organization. How is that voting process going to work if I'm in San Francisco and some people are here?
Joshua, that's actually the easy question.
Yeah, it is. Oh, sorry,
any in-person, anybody at one of the in-person locations can vote. We'll have some sighted help so that we can cast secret ballots and they can be counted. We'll have all chapters called, all affiliates, and they will answer from whatever location the delegate is sitting in, whether it be a special interest delegate or a chapter delegate. So San Bernardino's vote will get counted just as if you were sitting all in one room. The only votes we cannot count, as yet, we cannot count people who will be linked in on Zoom, because we don't have a viable process to have telephone votes cast. It's a very expensive process. at this moment, so we don't have that in the plan at the time. But did that answer your question about...
It did. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Romero Capital Chapter. I'm wondering...
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Pete Romero.
Hello, Pete.
Hi. Wondering if there is any way of ensuring that if we're all going to be hooked together, presumably by Zoom, that what happens if some sites have slower internet connection than others? Are we all going to be able to be really connected that way? That's my question.
Yeah, good internet connection is going to be one of the requirements for whatever locations we choose.
Hi, is this on?
Yes.
Okay. This is Andrea DeClotz from the Orange County chapter. And my concern, and I'd love to have vendors, but we're going to have to make sure that the center that we choose or location is okay with, because there may be places that won't want to allow us to have them for, you know, their own various reasons. So that may be something we have to figure into the whole vendor idea. It would be great to do it, but I we may get some pushback, and that may be a factor. And, you know, if a location is perfect except they won't allow vendors, then, you know, we may have to go with that.
That's going to actually be involved in the criteria that they're going to have obtained permission, I think, before, and showed that they have obtained permission before they can be granted a site, because that is clearly a problem. And we can't have that popping up, and then all of a sudden we have to change our sites and limit it. And so, yeah, that's going to have to be figured in.
But we probably can't. I think what you said, Andrea, that if we have a site that's perfect but it won't allow vendors, we'll have to really then look at that and maybe not have vendors at that site. But we can't even make – we don't want to limit ourselves in any way yet. Did I hear Linda? Can someone get a mic to Linda?
Am I up, or do you want to hear from Linda?
No, that's fine. You're up.
Hi. Yeah.
Who's speaking? Who's speaking, please?
Yeah, this is Kathy Fishbach.
I'm sorry, who?
Kathy Fishbach?
Fishbach, okay, thank you.
Yeah, I... First of all, I think the Braille Institute would be a good site in Southern California, for one reason, because
they won't do it.
They won't. Well, I was thinking that you could use the
just let her say her.
A place. Right. Well, a place like that in.
Please let her speak. Let her speak.
I was thinking that either the center in the Palm Springs area or another location. Would be ideal too, because they don't have any transportation out of that Coachella Valley. There's no transport. I mean, there's one bus maybe, and there's Greyhound. So basically, if we would get a lot more members and representatives down there if we had a site there. And then I don't understand why the Braille wouldn't do it.
But if
we're using Zoom, then we could also do it from home, too.
Yes, people, if they could not. In fact, I have realized that we may be able to have many, many more attendees at convention, because people can, even if they can't vote, they can hear what's going on at the convention and talk, you know, and have their points recognized and participate in discussions. There's lots of options. Then you just raised an excellent point. Your area is one that then we should consider putting in as a location, because people can't get out of that area. But you tell us there are a fair number of blind folks who would participate.
But here's the thing. You know, we have to be a little bit careful, because if we're going to use homes, they have to be public locations. And so we have to be really careful that every place we have meets our criteria and is open to the public, because that's part of how we conduct our businesses as a nonprofit corporation. So,
I think he meant they meant people in their own homes.
I understand that.
Okay, but you made a very good point. It has to be a public location. That's a very good point.
Okay.
We have time for... Yes, go ahead.
Are you ready for my question?
Yes, Linda.
Okay. The financing of this event, are we thinking that it will be entirely financed by CCB as an entity, or will it be a partnership between CCB and the various locations for fund? There will be costs associated,
Linda,
with the...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Not... I'm going to go after the same vendors I went after for this convention. And we brought in $20,000 from big vendors. I don't see any reason why Vanda and some of the other sponsors that we have wouldn't be willing to sponsor a convention wherever it is. So we will continue to seek sponsors, and I don't know that we could certainly... I think we could ask local places if they would, for instance, donate the space. But we're not going to give up having sponsors for our convention.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Judy, it's Sarah. I think what Linda was asking was whether it was going to, the cost was going to fall on the shoulders of CCB statewide, or possibly on the local chapters that would be hosting the event somewhere. I think that's what she was meaning. And I've heard just a few people at her go, I don't think that answered the question.
Okay. My thought is this is a statewide convention. It's still a statewide expense.
Hi, this is Nellie Emerson. One thing that might be considered in terms of possible locations for sites is community colleges. And especially in some of the more remote areas, such as Coachella Valley, there are some community colleges and spaces that could potentially be looked at in those places.
Good. Could I get a sense of how many people still would like to ask a question so we can...
Two more.
And we'll take those two.
Okay, this is Artis Basin. I just wanted to ask the question, could one of the criteria be that the location be available more than one day in case a special interest affiliate wanted to meet at that location?
That's a good thought, Artis. We can certainly look at that. A lot of hotels do have a room, and we could, if we wanted, for instance, to have a two days, it would be easy at a location like that, or a community college probably. So we can definitely, I think that's definitely put into the mix, Artis.
A butler's, we used to use.
Who was the, is
no
that
artist
our,
condone.
Is this our last, is this the person with the last question? And your name is?
Yolanda Scandone. Mm-hmm. Before we used to use a Hilton in Ontario, it was really easy for everybody to get there because of Ontario Airport, et cetera.
Have you seen their room rates lately?
No.
No, that's the answer. Okay. Obviously, we'll be holding calls about this, and you can always email Jeff or me. I hope Jeff will stay on as chair one more year at least of the program committee. And so obviously you can write to us with concerns as you think of them, because sometimes those ideas pop up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we...
Hold Judy
then. Yeah, so... so we, as I say, I just want to underscore, we don't want to do this too many years, except that, it's a wonderful, maybe turn out to be a blessing in disguise, but
we are in sort of inventing as we go, and we want to make sure to get it right. Was there one more question? All right. Who was that? Go ahead, Nancy. Get her a mic. Get her a mic.
Hi, I'm sorry. This is Nancy Younger. I was just, I guess, does that mean temporarily there will be no exhibitors coming unless they're within the region that we're going to be in, or, you know, people selling their
something like that, Nancy, unless an exhibitor's willing to travel. So. Okay, I'm going to turn the mic back over to Gabe. Thank you so much for your input. This has been incredibly valuable.
All right, thank you, Jeff and Judy, for answering those questions, and thank you, everybody, for those questions. And as Judy said, this is a discussion that does not stop here. It only starts. So it will definitely continue. Next up, we are having our CCB Governmental Affairs Report. And for anybody that's tired of hearing from Jeff yet, we actually have a new name and a new voice that we get to hear as part of this report. Teaming up with Jeff is going to be Sylvia Reese.
Yeah.
So
you think you're happy about that? Man.
So take it away, guys.
So we have a lot of ground to cover, and we'll try to do it as quickly as possible. Sylvia has just been a godsend, done an incredible job for all of us this year. She's taken the ball in a couple of areas and just run with it. In time she's just going to make what I did look like peanuts. So I'm really proud of what she's doing. And I'm going to start by having her talk a little bit about our district office day that we had this year.
Thank you, Jeff. And thank you all of you who participated in our district days. They were a lot of fun. And that just happened a few weeks ago, where we had asked you to go to your local governmental office, your local assemblyman, and let them know things that were important to you. And I'll tell you, Artis Bazin and folks on the governmental affairs, they did a wonderful job in heading phone calls, getting prepared for it, and even writing together the different assembly bills that we're looking at, that we are supporting. It was just a lot of fun. So thank you so much for participating in that.
Okay. Yeah, that was a great job by Artis and Alice Turner. They did a great job. Our co-chairs and the entire Governmental Affairs Committee and all of you that participated. And we got great feedback. Thank you for giving us that feedback. Okay, I'm going to talk about our first area, which is special education and AB 947. This has been truly a remarkable area of improvement in the lives of blind children that we are forging. We established a few years ago a coalition with the orientation and mobility community, and last summer, someone that those of you going to the banquet will meet, Jay Shupin, who's an O&M instructor, and I went to the Assembly Education Committee and said, what do you think we should do about some of the problems we're having, specifically stopping school districts from putting various restrictions on orientation and mobility instruction, and getting a whole list of services called the expanded core curriculum put into state law. And she said, well, the committee person said, I think it's time special ed got a lot more treatment, and I think you ought to go for it. So we did. And we created AB 947, a coalition that has involved lots of people but has been led by the special ed community and CCB together. And our bill, which not only stops school districts from imposing a number of restrictions that they've been doing lately on O&M instruction, but also puts the expanded core curriculum, which is a list of services that include socialization, technology, a daily living services, a whole bunch of things that our blind children need to transition into independent, successful adults into state law. Unfortunately, we aren't going to be able to get a requirement that the school districts, you know, consider those services in the IEP, but you can't get everything the first time around. So that bill has already sailed to the Assembly. It made it this week through on consent in the Education Committee with a recommendation that the Appropriations Committee consent to it likewise, which means there'll be no hearing in that committee potentially. So it looks very promising that that bill will be enacted and signed by the governor. We don't see any impediments at this point in time, although you have to stay concerned because you never know. So, but that's been an incredible coalition, and I think not only are we doing some good for blind children, but we're raising awareness in the field of how effective CCB is. And now I'll turn it over to Sylvia to talk about SSI.
All right. That's something we all want to hear about, SSI and SSP. That affects all, most of us anyway. There's been so much work done in this. A lot of activists, a lot of different organizations have come together to form a coalition. And the SSI-SSP is something that's dear and near to their heart because all of us want to attack poverty and get us out of poverty. That's just real important. Way back in 2008, when we had the big recession, the COLA, the yearly increase that was received by those who receive SSP, which is the state portion, was taken away. But that has not been restored, and that's the problem with it. So it has been fought for, trying to get it restored so that the SSP, the California portion, would be raised to bring us back to the poverty, if not a little bit better. That has gone through, that has been fought for. Unfortunately, it didn't come through the way that we like. But what did happen is that it was approved that there would be a small increase for 6 months. So that's something, it's in the right direction. We're happy to accept that, although the group of coalitions are not finished. We're looking at regrouping and looking at fighting this again for next year to be, give it another push. One big thought is that why it didn't go through as we had hoped for this year is because of the CalFresh. As all of you know, starting in June, those of you who receive SSI, SSP are eligible for CalFresh. So it is thought that those who control the money within the state of California feel like because the CalFresh went through, meaning that most of us will be receiving $139 extra a month for food once you go ahead and apply for that, that that would take care of it for this year. So we say thank you for that, but we're not giving up. We're going ahead and resubmitting this and reorganizing for next year, trying to get a better increase for you.
So as a plug for the diabetics group in California, especially since the Warrior game won't seem to matter on Monday, I will be on the diabetics call talking about, at their invitation, talking about applying for CalFresh, and we urge you to call in. I assume anybody is eligible. Is available to open to call in. So, anyway, I'll go on to AB 169, and really, this is something that Sylvia and I have been largely out of. I draft an occasional letter, but it's been the Golden State guide dog handlers that's been carrying the ball and doing a great job. And, you know, let's hear it for them, for Margie and Alice and the whole group, Gil Johnson and Bob Acosta and all those folks. This bill, which we're running now for the third time, because it was vetoed by the governor twice, would strengthen protections against pet owners whose dogs attack service animals, including expanding these criminal penalties to instances where the dog is not actually performing its duties, and allowing restitution against the pet owner for lost wages and medical expenses for the guide dog handler. So we're hoping with the new governor, I don't see any real problems in the bill passing the legislature for a third time. Didn't have any problems the first two times. And we don't know as yet what Governor Newsom's office thinks about it. And I think we're going to have to try and get a meeting somewhere to see if we can't get a gauge on where we might stand, but hopefully we will get through the logjam this time. It's funny because Governor Brown loved dogs, but he also loved to veto bills. So we got on the wrong side of that.
At least okay. The dog loved, you got half of it.
Yeah, and now we'll talk about scooters, and I think we may both have a little bit to say, but I'll start with Sylvia on scooters.
Aren't scooters fun? They're fun to watch leave, aren't they? Oh, the scooter build, not just scooters, but motorized vehicles. We have a lot of bike rentals now, and also their skateboards, the electric ones. Now, we're not talking about privately owned, but those that go through a share company where they are rented. And what the bill is asking is that there be liability that insurance liability for, through the rental companies to ensure that if somebody gets injured by these, that there's $5 million that's there that can be drawn upon for injuries and such things as that. It's real near and dear to a lot of your hearts, I know, because some of you have been involved where they have been hit by a scooter, or you're walking along the crosswalk and someone abandoned a scooter there. So it does have to do also with the maintenance and parking issues involved with these scooters. So it's a big thanks to Eugene Lozano Jr. He's the one that's been fighting for that one. I can't do justice to what he has done, but just a big thank you to him for looking out for our safety.
So the bill number is AB 1286. We are supporting that bill. It doesn't have everything in it. We'd like, you know, standards for requirements for noise emissions and some other things. But it's a first. It's a good first step, sponsored by the consumer attorneys. And another thing that Gene has done, not only working with the authors of 1286, but CalWalks, with whom we've had sort of strained relationships over the past few years, has stepped up and is not only supporting AB 1286, along with others like Disability Rights California, but they are also helping us oppose a bill, AB 1112, that is a bill that is far kindlier to the scooters and doesn't require anywhere near as much regulation, because I think the goal of that bill is mainly to help them proliferate as much as they can in the community. So we're CalWalks has stepped up and is opposing that bill unless there are some real changes to it made to, you know, make the regulatory system requirements greater by local governments. And so and Gene is really doing outstanding work in that area. I want to talk about a couple of other things, and both of these actually have resolutions on them Sunday, but a resolution is pretty, it happens so fast that you don't really get to hear much about it, and I want to spend 5 minutes or so on these two things. Does anybody know, and don't say April Fool's Day or you'll be thrown out, does anybody know what April 1st, 2020 is? It's Census Day. Paul's birthday. That's correct. That is correct. It's Paul Patch's birthday. But it is also Census Day. It's our 24th census. Ever since 1790, we've been taking it. And April 1 is Census Day. The census is so important. The data gathered from the census is used by, you know, demographers, people who for the private sector make all sorts of decisions about what they're going to do. It's used by statisticians in the federal government. And most important, perhaps, to us, it's used for all federal funding decisions, basically, both by Congress and at the regulatory level. Everything from special education to older individuals who are blind to all sorts of programs are impacted by it. And so it affects us on a daily basis. And we need, historically, people who have disabilities, and for ours, in our case, especially people who are blind or who have low vision, have been dramatically undercounted. What can you do? You can get involved, as I hope CCB will, at the state level, in the state census office, and more practically, a lot of what goes on, the outreach, the filling out of forms and the outreach to people so they know about them, goes on through your county. So you can get involved at the local level to make sure that the census gets in as many hands of as many blind and low vision people as possible, and that they fill out the questionnaires. A lot of the final decisions on what questions are going to be there, we don't even know yet. They haven't done it all. We're assured that the website's going to be totally accessible, but you know, it's always good to look it up. But there's a lot of work being done by disability activists. I was involved at the request of Disability Rights California, that I'm happy to be a board member of, and I'm always considering our issues, and so are they, on a webinar on the census, and I talked about our issues with respect to the census. So I urge you all to be involved in the census in some way or other, to the degree that you have time to do so. Finally, the other issue, and it's going to come up tomorrow, we're going to get a resolution ready for the floor tomorrow, is and one that we're very concerned about, is the Department of Rehabilitation intends to impose financial requirements on those who have certain levels of earned income for tuition for rehabilitation clients that are attending post-secondary institutions. We are very concerned that this is the beginning of something that could have very dramatic and dire effects on rehabilitation clients, and we intend to do what we can to oppose it. And we hope that you will see it the way we do when it's talked about, and it is something that we hope to give our strident opposition to in any manner that we can. With that, I am open, if there's time for questions. That's up to Judy. And Sylvia and I. It's up to Gabe, sorry. It's up to Gabe.
Yeah, we're running a couple minutes behind, but hey, what would a CCB conference and convention be if we weren't running a couple of minutes behind, right? Besides, we can make up time somewhere else. So we can take a couple of minutes or a couple of questions.
Any questions? If you have questions, just address them to Sylvia. She'd be happy to answer them.
As long as she doesn't answer like Russell Westbrook. Okay, next question. Okay, next question.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, Jeff laughed about that, but you're more than welcome to contact me because I am his trainee?
Mentee. Yes. Mentee.
There you go. Not lackey.
No.
No, Jeff is your lackey.
No. Lackey is the author of AB 169. That's what he is.
That's right.
And he also has a really good paratransit bill, too, by the way, on, you know, getting a study on mandatory visiting certification processes. So he is really out there pitching for issues that we hold. I think we got a letter in. If not, we will do it. Yeah, it's one we definitely are supporting. Okay, well then if there's no questions, thank you very much for your attention. And, oh, you know what? I do have one thing to say, and it piggybacks on Judy's theme. You know, I think that what all of your efforts indicate is the same thing that Winston Churchill told his people in 1940, back when Nazi Germany was trying to bring them to their knees in the Battle of Britain with nightly bombings that were killing hundreds and hundreds of people in Great Britain. He said that this was our finest hour. Well, it is true that CCB has some, you know, financial straits that we are going through. We've gone through them before and we'll probably go through them again. But we are not letting it affect our advocacy in the slightest. In fact, we are redoubling our advocacy efforts. And so, as Winston Churchill said to his people, I say to you, this is our finest hour.
Well said. All right. Thank you.
Dave, can I put in a plug? I want to just put in a plug.
All right. The president's asking me for the mic. And since she's the boss around here.
No, it's so interesting because there are a couple of wonderful articles in the Blind Californian this issue, including one by Alice, I think, an artist on the district days.
District,
and as ironic, my presidential article this time happens to be on the other faces of CCB advocacy. So that because it is strong. You can also read my article about meeting Elvis, but I'll save that one for tomorrow.
Oh, you mean you didn't meet Elvis at a gas station? I thought that's where he's working these days.
Yeah, we're going to have that resolution.
Let's hear it for Jeff and Sylvia and all the work they're doing in the Capitol.
Don't you think that's the time to present it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, just a couple more things here. We're going to have one more item, and here's I think what they call in the broadcasting business a teaser. We're going to have one more item, and then stay tuned because there will be a door prize at some point. At some point tonight, there will be a door prize.
Or several.
Or several. Stay tuned. You never know what's coming up. All right, and so next up, however, we are going to hear from, I bet you can't guess, it's going to be Judy Wilkinson. But this one's going to be fun. It's really going to be fun, I promise you. We're going to hear the list of convention sponsors. I believe, Judy, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is going to be the personal sponsors that everybody signed up as a, whatever the medal was, gold, silver, bronze, tin, all that stuff, as well as the others. So I'm passing the mic to Judy, and here we go.
People, we really do need your attention because I'm going to read formally the full list of the sponsors as I know them. And we can't mention our large sponsors, our big sponsors enough, beginning with Vanda Pharmaceuticals at the investor level for $5,000, Energy Upgrade California investor level, $5,000, Cruise Automations, the sustainer level for $3,000, Sprint Communications sustainer level $3,000, and they have supported us now for two or three years, and Rosenbein, Galvin, and Grunfeld LLP law firm. We heard Mike Nunez today, one of their attorneys, at the contributor level of $1,000. We have Era, which has made this hotel an Era-free zone for the weekend. We thank Era, and download the app and become a, you can be a guest even if you don't use Era. We have local sponsors, Dugout Cookies. Didn't they give some amazing numbers? I mean, I think we had 5,000 cookies in about 10 bags, and you know, the resolutions committee's got some, and we had some wonderful door prizes at the, wasn't that a fabulous welcome party last night? And we're doing it again for the next two nights. We also had a local sponsor, Palm, for the pomegranate juice. We had an anonymous donation of our birthday cake, and I believe there's going to be cake left over and up in the hospitality suite this evening. Now I want to talk to you about the individual donors, the people who signed up for this convention. I am proud to announce to you that 32 people who signed up for this convention donated $1,800. And I'm proud to name them. The 10 bronze sponsors, Andrea DeKlotz, Jan Carmichael, John Ross, Lisa Thomas, hold your applause, Peter Pardini, Rosemary Chase, Sarah Harris, Charlene Ornelas, Steve Bauer, Tony Ames. Here are the 13 silver sponsors who gave $50 each. Catherine Schmidt Whitaker, Frank Welty, Graham Whitaker, Jeff Tom, Katrina McCurdy, Leslie Tom, Margaret Buchman Garcia, Olivia Ostergaard, Liv Presley, Rob Turner, Rusty Rendon, Stephen Fort, Vita Zavoli. And to the 9 gold sponsors at $100, Gabe Griffith, Gail Crossan, Judy Wilkinson, Linda Perrell, Mike Keithley, Pam Metz, Paul Patchy, Stephen Mendelson, Vivian Younger. Every donation is so welcome, and I'm so proud of you all. Thank you so much. And that ends the list of the sponsors as I know them.
Thank you, Judy. And once again, everybody, give yourselves a round of applause. All those donations are much appreciated. All right. So let's take it. Am I hearing somebody calling? Yes, Andrea. Can we get Andrea a mic? Yeah, can we get Andrea a mic, please? I trust Andrea.
Don't mind him. He's just our delegate. I wanted to mention, I don't know how many of you have tried to use ERA to get around the hotel. IRA. Sorry, my phone says ERA. IRA to try to get around the hotel. The problem we're running into, and hopefully they're going to get it solved, they do not have an interior hotel map. This has happened to me twice. I have called customer service. They are aware of it. They did help me tonight to find my shoes in my room, which I had misplaced. And they were great. The gal was wonderful. Well, they just got, I was so tired last night, I think I took them off somewhere I didn't realize. I was just strewing things all over the place. So I'm just mentioning to you that if you try to get around the hotel with IRA and you run into this, it's not them. It's they can't do anything for us if they don't have the interior map. And I'm not sure why that happened, but they're trying to get it resolved.
All right. Thanks for letting us know, Andrea, and something for everyone to be aware of. All right. So now we are going to have a door prize. Lisa, are we ready with a door prize?
Shake it up. So let's do a bottle of wine.
Hey, everybody likes that.
Donated by Redwood Empire Chapter.
It looks nice.
Maria Mitchell.
All right. Hopefully she's here. I think she's a delegate.
Maria, can you raise your hand if you're here?
Not until after chug elections.
Chug it.
Lisa, how many more do we have for this evening?
I have a whole lot, Gabe.
All right. Well, let's do one more then. What do you guys think? Should we do one more?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay. Make sure you take Paul Patch's name out before you draw.
Okay.
I think that's what I heard him say.
So how about I do a really good one? An Amazon Dot. Ooh. Donated by Yosemite Gateway.
Wow.
The winner is Andy Tom.
All right, Andy.
Oh, hello.
And Andy, you're here, right?
She is.
You over there? All right. Good job. Okay. You know what? I'm feeling generous. Let's do one more.
Right? Okay.
And I promise I'm not running for election of anything tonight. I heard that, Andrea.
Random. It's a fill-in name.
So we're going to do $25 cash donated by the San Francisco chapter.
All right.
Bonnie Rini.
All right, Bonnie. All right. Thank you, Lisa, for those. Yes. Was somebody calling for the floor? You want to do one more?
Yeah.
Okay. Your treasurer is suggesting we do one more.
Let's do it.
And for the record, she's not running for anything tonight either. So, all right.
So let's do another $25 donated by the Greater LA Chapter. Gail Crossan.
All right, Gail.
Gail, can you raise your hand?
All right, so I think now that we got everybody going awake a little bit, let's move on to a little bit more business of the evening, and something I look forward to. What's that, Jay?
Is Frank still up here, right?
No, but I've got his cards.
Okay, good.
Yep, he left me his cards. Okay, so this is something I actually look forward to every year. And that is the elections. So we have...
What's that?
Okay. We have, as we heard earlier, a slate of candidates. And so I will read them again very quickly, and then we will move through them in the order that they were presented to us today. We have the position of second vice president, which is Sarah Harris has been nominated. Secretary was Linda Perel from nominations. And for the directors, we have Christy Crespin. And why am I getting feedback? We have Christy Crespin, Pamela Metz, Penny Valdovinos, Steve Bauer, and Nellie Emerson. So the first position that we have up for election tonight is that of second. Oh, and let me just step back just a second. These officers or elected people tonight will all take office on July 1st. So, with that being said, the first office up for election is that of second vice president, and Sarah Harris's name has been entered into nomination or entered. Is it into nomination? Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? And for a third time, are there any other nominations from the floor? Yes. It has been moved and seconded to close nominations and elect Sarah by acclamation. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? Sarah, congratulations.
Yeah.
Would you like a microphone? But this is being streamed all over the universe.
Very true. Hi, everybody. I just want to say thank you very, very much. I'm going to be kind of quick, but when I first became blind, I was going to the local blind center, and I was getting pulled in two directions between we had an NFB chapter and a CCB chapter here. And I decided I didn't want to go to either one of them because it was scary. But I ended up choosing the right one in the end. Right, guys?
Yes.
And, you know, and then I went to my second convention in San Diego, and I ran into some dude named Gabe Griffith.
And she's recovered ever
yeah,
since.
It's been one hell of a ride ever since. So, yeah, thanks, Gabe. No, for reals, thank you, everybody, and happy birthday, CCB.
All right. Awesome. Okay. And so the next office we have up for election is that of secretary. The name of Linda Perel has been entered into nomination. Do I hear any other nominations from the floor? Do I hear any other nominations from the floor? And for a third time, do I hear any other nominations from the floor? Yes. It has been moved and seconded to close nominations and elect Linda Perel as secretary. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And any abstentions? All right, Linda, congratulations. You are our new secretary. Uh,
All right, and we're getting Linda a mic, so prepare your speech.
Thank you, everyone. Happy birthday, CCB, of course. I promise to give my undivided attention at every meeting and be scrupulous in taking notes and presenting those reports to you in a timely manner and do whatever I'm assigned to do by the president and serving on the executive board. I look forward to serving you for the next 2 years.
Thank you, Linda. And I also want to take this chance to say thank you to Artis Bazin for all of her years serving as secretary. And as was said last night, she's not going anywhere. She's still going to be heavily involved in this organization. Artis, would you like the mic to say a couple of words? I don't know. I should have said that differently. Lisa, can we get Artis a microphone so she can say a couple of words?
Okay, thank you. I've enjoyed serving on the board of directors for a number of years, and I really do believe in CCB. Thanks.
Thank you, Artis. Okay, and now moving on to the first of our five director positions for this evening. I'll go through them again in the order that they were presented this afternoon. The first one is the name of Christy Crespin has been entered into nomination. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? And for a third time, are there any other nominations from the floor? Okay, it has been moved and seconded to close nominations and elect Christy by acclamation. So all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. And any abstentions? All right, it carries. Congratulations, Christy. And can we get Christy a mic, please?
Wow, I was going to get nervous and try to figure out my speech and all that stuff, and I guess I'll have to save it for another time or an article, huh? I really appreciate your confidence in me. I will do my utmost for this organization that I love because you are my family and we are CCB. Thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations again, Christy. Next up is, I think the only incumbent we have running for her own office this evening, is the name of Pamela Metz has been entered into nomination. So, do I hear any other nominations from the floor? Do I hear any other nominations from the floor? And for a third time, do I hear any other nominations from the floor? Okay, it has been moved and seconded to close nominations and elect Pamela Metz by acclamation. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And any abstentions? All right, congratulations, Pam.
Thank you. Okay, Jeff just called me a curmudgeon because I'm tired, but... thank you guys again for allowing me to serve on the board again, and happy birthday, CCB, and I promise to continue to be a bee in everybody's ear on this board.
All right. Okay, next up, the name of Penny Valdovinos has been entered into nomination. Do I hear any other nominations from the floor? Do I hear any other nominations from the floor?
And for a third time, are there any other nominations from the floor? Okay, we have a motion and a second to close nominations and elect Penny Valdovinos by acclamation. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? Congratulations, Penny.
I would like to thank everyone here. I've had a great, great time representing Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind. Now I get to have much more fun representing the state and being able to help everyone else and do a good job.
All right. Congratulations. Thank you. Okay. On the fourth position of fourth director position for tonight, the name of Steve Bauer has been entered into nomination. Do I hear any other nominations from the floor? Do I hear any other nominations from the floor? And for a third time, are there any other nominations from the floor?
Mr. Chair, I move that nominations be closed and that Steve Bauer be elected by acclamation.
It has been moved and seconded to close nominations and elect Steve by acclamation. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And any abstentions? All right, congratulations, Steve.
Well, thank you all. I don't go back in the organization quite as far as some of the folks celebrating the 85th birthday tonight, but I think it was 87 when I came to my first CCB meeting. Wasn't real active for a number of those years, but now that I'm an old retired guy, I want to devote some time to this organization that's done so much for me. And a number of leaders in the organization urged me to run, and I hope I can prove their faith in me was worthwhile. Thank you.
Okay, and now for the fifth position on the board here. The name of Nellie Emerson has been entered into nomination. Do I hear any other nominations from the floor? Do I hear any other nominations from the floor? Okay. The name of Joni Pachi has been entered into nomination. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Okay. And one more time, are there any other nominations? Okay. Do we have a motion to close? I was going to say, do we have a motion to close nominations and move to voting? Yeah. Yes, and move to voting. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to close nominations and move to voting, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And any abstentions? Okay, so the way that this is going to work... And I should have asked, Joni, you are willing to... Do you accept the nomination? Is Joni in the room?
Yes, one moment.
Okay. Wonderful. Yes, it has been confirmed that Joni has accepted the nomination. I was remiss in asking that. Okay, so the way this is going to work...
Everybody, let's have your attention.
Okay, attention. Yeah. All right, we are going to be passing out squares of paper and... I'm just going to let people know how it's going to work. All right, we're going to be passing out squares of paper. You may only vote as an individual. Okay, your attention, folks, please. Folks, please, your attention. All right, so we're going to be passing out squares of paper, and to those who are passing those out, the only give a paper to people that have their name badge with a, what color dot is it, red? Red dot on it. You must have your badge with your dot on it to vote tonight. And attention. Please wait. Please.
You guys.
Your attention. And so, as the nominee, an intact ballot will signify a vote for Nellie Emerson, and tearing off of one corner will signify a vote for Joni Patchy. And at this time, we will have 5 minutes, 5 minutes worth of seconding speeches for each candidate. Nellie will go first, and Joni will go second. And is there somebody that can keep time? Okay, we have a couple. Go ahead. Was that Guillermo?
Yes.
Thank you, Guillermo. So, Nellie, who are going to be your speakers? Folks, please be quiet. I can't quite hear Nellie. Okay, so we will, for Nellie, it will be herself and Christy Crespin. And then, Joni, who are going to be your speakers? Jean Lozano and who? Karen Trotter. Okay. Can we please start by getting a microphone to Nellie? And Guillermo, will you please start the clock when Nellie starts speaking? And then what we'll do is when Nellie is done speaking, I will ask Guillermo how much time is remaining, and I will ask him to give a notification when there's 1 minute remaining, regardless of which of the speakers it is at that time. All right. So, folks, can we please give Nellie and the rest of the speakers our attention? Mm-hmm. Nellie, go ahead.
Hello,
and start.
Hello, CCP members. I have participated in this organization for a long time, and there has been many things that have happened, but I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I like to get things done. I'm very good at networking. I have the ability to write well. I can find resources in the community that people may not know exist. I have a lot of compassion for people who are newly blind and who really need to be mentored and shown the right way to participate. I have organized chapters. I have participated in the establishment of a nonprofit. I currently, now that I am retired from 39 years of service with California Department of Rehabilitation, I am volunteering at Braille Institute in Santa Barbara, conducting a living with vision loss support group, and I am participating in the community in Santa Maria and Santa Barbara County. There's a lack of a chapter in that area. I hope that in the future there might be a possibility of engaging blind people in the Central Coast to share the wealth of knowledge and concern and compassion that CCP members have for one another, because it's really needed. And as to the future of this organization, I feel that the future is bright. I think that with the current persons that are newly establishing on the board, this organization is strong. They will have an influx of energy, ideas, participation, and action in the direction where the organization needs to go. I feel that this is a very important time for our organization, and I am here to serve, I am here to listen, I am here to work. And thank you for this opportunity.
Okay. And Guillermo, how much time is left?
4 minutes,
57
seconds.
How much time is left?
3 seconds. Okay. All right, so we have 3 seconds left on the clock. Christy.
Shh, people. Go when she
okay. Guillermo, start when Christy starts speaking.
Nellie says what she means what she says, and gets things done. Vote for Nellie.
Okay. All right, and the first speaker for Joni is going to be Gene Lozano and Karen Schroeder. So, Gene, do we have a mic to Gene? Oh, Karen first. Okay, I was going in the order that I heard the name. Sorry. Okay, Karen first, and then Gene. And again, we'll do the same as before.
Good evening, everyone. This is Karen Schroeder. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about Joni Patchy, even though you all know her. I may know some things you don't. So I want to let you know that Joni is somebody who would be great on the board right now because a few reasons. One, she thinks outside the box. She's always thinking of innovative ways to run her business and her home. she's very organized. She knows how to plan things. But she doesn't just talk about things. She gets it done. And she has just in multiple areas of her life, she's shown that she is innovative and also organized. And the biggest thing is that Joni has a passion for whatever she undertakes. And that's what CCB needs right now is passion. Gene, your turn.
Okay. Thank you. And Guillermo, what is the time left on our clock?
No, couldn't be.
I only got 5 seconds.
How much time is left?
Oh my gosh. I think it would be surprised if she took more than a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So okay. We're not sure how
so
much time is at the
So Guillermo, are we not sure how much time has elapsed? 4 minutes and 3 seconds is left?
That makes sense.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, I think I just misheard. Okay. So, Gene, you have 4 minutes
okay.
and 3 seconds, so go ahead.
I'm pleased to have from the ACB Capital Chapter, Joni run for this office. Joni's been a key player in our chapter. She is a person that, as Karen stated, that does things behind the scenes. She's not seeking glory. She's not trying to get the limelight. She is a hard worker, and when she commits to something, she does follow through. She has played key roles in seeing legislation for business enterprise vendors and for special education. I believe she was one of a group of 12 vendors that successfully got some regulations changed so that it ensured better situations for vendors at who are working at Caltrans rest stops that better protections for those for their businesses. Also, with special education, she has been the current and has been for some time chair of the community advisory committee for the California School for the Blind. One of her accomplishments was making certain that advisory entity was involved in the selection of the superintendent. Previous to that, they were not going to be included in there, so more from outside, from the blind community, was heard in the choice of the superintendent. She was also, in the past, was very active in the California Association of Parents with Children with Visual Impairments, and made her home open to them, mentored many of the children, and their parents, and is still consulted on at times on issues there. Joni is a very successful businesswoman, and we need somebody with business smarts on our board. She's very well networked with media. She has creatively found ways of getting local TV to cover issues, and she has been on TV frequently, even promoting her own business. And you got to talk to her about the creative costume she did one time. I saw her on TV. Joni is the winner, and she's a very positive. She's even when things are not going well for Joni, she always keeps a positive attitude and always tries to find the positive of everything and not negativism. So I strongly encourage you to vote for Joni. Thank you.
All right. Thank you to all the speakers. Okay. Is there anyone in the room that does not have a ballot yet? Okay, we don't have ballots up here at the front table, I don't believe. And I think over to the left there. They don't have it. Okay, if you don't have a ballot, could you please raise your hand?
One to a customer.
Yeah. We're good. Everybody's set.
Okay. Does everybody now have ballots?
Looks like everybody's good.
Okay, good. Thank you, guys. No problem. Okay, so the way this is going to work is an intact ballot is a vote for Nellie Emerson, and a ballot with one corner torn off is a vote for Joni Pacci. And at this point, we will move to the delegate vote. And so we have quite a number of chapters voted, so we'll give folks a few minutes or a few things here to get your vote done, and then we'll start collecting them, but we'll start calling the roll call at this point. And Peter, you're prepared to... Okay. And... go ahead and just holler out your vote as I call for the delegate, and then I will repeat it as we go. So the first one is the Active Blind Inland Valleys chapter, and the number of votes they have is 5, and the delegate is Christy Crespin.
5 votes, Nellie.
5 votes, Emerson. Next is the ACB Capital Chapter, and the number of votes is 8, and their delegate is Joni Pacci. Eight votes, Pacci. Okay. Next is the is Bayview chapter. The number of votes is 8, and the delegate is Maria Mitchell. 8 votes, Pacci. Next, we have the Braille Revival League of California. The number of votes is 5, and the delegate is Linda Perel. 5 votes, Pacci. Next is the California Council of Blind Students, 5 votes, and the delegate is Robin Pacci. Okay, it's going to be the alternate delegate, Andy Tom. 5 votes, Patchy. Okay. Next is the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, 5 votes. And the delegate is Penny Valdovinos. 5 votes, Emerson. Okay. Next, we have California Library Users of America, 5 votes, and the delegate is Bonnie Rennie. 5 votes, Emerson. Next is the Contra Costa Chapter, 5 votes. And the delegate is Rosemary Chase. 5 votes, Emerson. 5 votes, Emerson. You know, I was actually going to do one more, and then I was going to call for that. Okay. So, so if you haven't got your ballot prepared yet, please do that, because they'll start coming around in a minute to do that. Next is East Los Angeles CCB chapter. The number of votes is 7. And the 8? Okay, sorry, it felt like a 7 there. So 8 votes. And the delegate is Mona Craig. 8 votes, Emerson. Okay, and so could the volunteers please start going around the room and collecting the individual ballots? Great, thank you. Okay, next up we have the Fresno chapter. Number of votes is 7, and the delegate is Jamie Gibson Barrows.
4 Emerson, 3 Patchy.
Our first split personality of the night. Okay. Next, we have the Glendale Burbank chapter. Number of votes is 7. And the delegate is... Anthony, isn't it? Yeah, Anthony Signorello. Four Emerson, 3 Patchy. And that was the alternate delegate, Kevin Berkeley, right? Okay. Next, we have... Golden State Guide Dog Handlers, Inc., 5 votes, and the delegate is Diane Deutsch. 5 votes, Emerson. Next, we have Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind. Number of votes is 5 votes, and the delegate is Paul Leon. 5 votes, Emerson. Next, we have Greater Long Beach chapter. The number of votes is 5, and the delegate is Robert Wendt. 5 votes, Robert, are you in the room? The alternate delegate is Jessica Marquez. Jessica, are you in the room? Okay. So nobody from Greater Long Beach in the room as far as delegate or alternate. Next, we have Greater Los Angeles chapter. The number of votes is 6, and the delegate is Guillermo Robles.
3 Emerson, 3 Patchy.
High Desert chapter. Number of votes is 7. Delegate is Robert Acosta. 7 votes, Emerson. Next, we have the Humboldt Council of the Blind. The number of votes is 5. And the delegate is Gavin Smiley. Okay, the alternate delegate is also Gavin Smiley. Okay. All right. Inland Empire has 5 votes, and Christine Bailey is the delegate. 5 votes, Emerson. Next is Orange County chapter. Number of votes is 5, and the delegate is Larry Gassman. 5 votes, Emerson. Next is Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. Number of votes is 5 votes. Delegate is Paul Patchy Jr. 5 votes, Patchy. Next is the Redwood Empire chapter. Number of votes is 5. And the delegate is Annette English. Is that right? Yeah. Annette English. 5 votes, Emerson. Next is San Bernardino Council, California Council of the Blind. Number of votes is 8. And the delegate is Deborah Gossett. 8 votes, Patchy. Next, we have San Diego Braille Club. Number of votes is 5, and the delegate is Charlene Ornelas.
5 votes, Emerson.
5 votes, Emerson. Next, we have San Francisco CCB chapter. Number of votes, 7. Delegate, Lisa Cushman. Okay, the alternate delegate is Joshua Saunders. One vote, Emerson. 6 votes, Patchy. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you. Next is San Gabriel Valley Chapter. Number of votes is 8. And the delegate is Debbie Obregon. 8 votes Emerson. Almost there, folks. Next is Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. Number of votes is 13. And the delegate is Rob Turner. 13 votes, Patchy. Next, we have Yosemite Gateway Council of the Blind. The number of votes is 5. And the delegate is Margaret Buckman Garcia. 5 votes, Patchy. And I believe the last one we have here. Oh, okay. Yeah, last was on here was Golden Gate. The Golden Gate chapter was stuck on here, but they weren't seated. So, okay. I hadn't read the chapter. Okay, that concludes the calling of the delegate vote. So all of the votes ballots should have been collected, and Peter is going to count those up.
Talk amongst yourselves for a
minute. So give us a moment here. Oh, and while we're waiting, before you guys start conversing amongst yourselves, after this we'll be taking a few minutes break, and then we'll be having an exciting reading of the proposed bylaws. And hold on just a second, folks. Bear with me here, folks. But at that time, so what is for the reading of the bylaws. Last year, two years ago, we passed a resolution with the idea of rewriting the bylaws, and had stated that specifically at the 2018 convention we would have one reading and a vote. This year, it was the decision of the bylaws committee that we need to do 2 readings, as our constitution calls for an amendment. So we're going to have a reading tonight without discussion, for anyone that wants to hang around and hear it. And we will also, and then tomorrow we will have a reading of the bylaws with debate, where we'll go chapter or article by article, and then have debate on passage of the whole document. At the close of elections tonight, when we have that few minute break, the resolutions committee, if you want, are free to go and start your meeting. That is going to be in the boardroom, which is down the hallway towards the waterfall. So that's a great audio cue for anyone that hears it. And so they'll be meeting. Yeah, meeting as soon as the elections are over, Jeff says. And then also at...
is it 10 o'clock? Or
no, as soon as this break, we'll hospitality.
And then also as soon as we go to break, the hospitality party in room D3 will begin. All right, I hear that the outlying precincts are in and that we have a result. So Lisa is getting a mic to give us those results.
With a vote of 128
to 112. Nellie wins.
And we're getting a mic to Nellie.
Thank you so much. I welcome the opportunity to serve on the board, and I will be here for all of you. Thank you again.
All right. Congratulations, Nellie. And can I get a mic to Joni? Would you like to say a few words? Hold on, Joni. Folks, just bear with us a few more minutes here, please. All right, go ahead, Joni.
So I'm going to say congratulations to Nellie. I know she'll do a great job, and I'm not mad because I didn't win. What I want to say is, anybody needs my help, I'll give it to them.
Yeah. All right. And all right. And just real quick before we wrap up the elections, there are two board members who will be going off the board as of July 1st, and those are Karen Schroeder and Vivian Younger. So if either of those two are in the room, would either of you like to say a couple of words? I know Karen's here. Can we get a mic to Karen?
Hey, everybody. It's Karen Schroeder. Thank you so much for the opportunity to serve on the board for 2 years. It's been a great opportunity to learn more about CCB and learn more about the individuals who comprise CCB. And just thank you for the opportunity, and I'm still here.
All right, and thank you, Karen. Vivian Younger, are you in the room? Vivian's not here. So thank you to both Karen and Vivian, as well as, again, to artists for all of your time on the serving and the hours that you have committed and will commit to CCB. That concludes the 2019 California Council of the Blind elections, and we'll be taking about a 5-minute break or so.
Okay.
This is no voting.
This is just for people who chose to stay and listen. CCB bylaws draft as of June 2019. Preamble. We, the members of California Council of the Blind, having established in 1934 the CCB as an organization dedicated to the full equality and opportunity in society for Californians who are blind and low vision, and now seeking through revision of our governing document to renew our organization and our commitments in response to the demands of today's changing world, do hereby establish these bylaws to reflect continuity with the values and principles that have historically defined our organization through policies and resolutions. Reiterate our commitment to a self-governing organization in which people who are blind and low vision are the supreme authority, maintaining control over our own decisions and lives. Develop mechanisms for acquiring the necessary management, fundraising, legal, financial, and technological expertise to assure the viability and success of the organization and to maximize its ability to meet the challenges of the future, and devise administrative and accountability structures to ensure that the authority delegated to the officers and staff is utilized in ways that maximize its effectiveness and that preserve membership, authority, and control. Bylaws, Article 1, Name. And the name of this organization is the California Council of the Blind. All references to CCB or to the council contained herein or contained in other documents filed or prepared by this organization shall be understood as references to the California Council of the Blind. Section 1.1. All references in these bylaws to people who are blind shall be understood to include people who are blind, legally blind, and low vision. Article 2, purpose. The purpose of the California Council of the Blind is to increase the independence and equality for all Californians who are blind or low vision. Article 3, governance. Operating under the laws of the United States and of the state of California, CCB is a nonprofit grassroots membership organization governed by its membership in accordance with these bylaws and operated by its members, officers, and staff in accordance with their respective roles as set forth below. Section 3.1, in the decisions it makes, the policies it adopts, and the activities it undertakes, the supreme authority of the CCB shall be its members, acting through its board of directors and staff. Section 3.2, the organizational units of the CCB, as described below, have designated responsibilities and authority to make decisions, to develop policies and procedures, to ensure compliance with these bylaws and with the requirements of law, and to conduct the day-to-day work of a modern not-for-profit, I think we decided to change that to non-profit organization. Section 3.3, for the achievement of its purposes, the fulfillment of its responsibilities, and the conduct of its affairs, CCB consists of the following components, all described in greater detail in further articles of these bylaws. Section 3.3.1, its membership, deliberating and acting in annual convention. Section 3.3.2, its president, carrying out the instructions of the membership, supervising the executive director, leading the board, and representing the organization in a variety of relationships and community settings. Section 3.3.3, its executive director, ED, who is supervised by the president and who is fully empowered to maintain all operational needs of the CCB as set forth in the approved annual budget and the ED position description. Section 3.3.3.1. In the event of a vacancy in the ED position, the president shall assume the duties of the position until the position is filled, can be filled. Section 3.3.4. Its officers and directors carrying out the duties assigned to them, making and implementing policy decisions delegated to them or needing to be made between annual conventions, approving budgets and expenditures and other measures, working with such experts or staff as may be recruited or empowered from time to time to address matters beyond the expertise of the board, and serving on such committees as may be created for various organizational purposes. Was that clear enough, or would people like me to read that again? Just go. Okay. Okay. All right. Section, I just didn't read it so well. Section 3.3.5. Its chapters, special interest affiliates, and at-large members representing the organization in their local communities, cooperating in statewide organizational initiatives and developing creative strategies to meet the identified and emerging needs and concerns of those who are blind or have low vision. Of people who are blind or have low vision, yes. Sure. Strategies. Let me just develop initiatives. This is... Okay, I'm going... In their local communities, yeah, I just can't... Yeah, let me go back to, I'm sorry, the beginning of 3.3.5. Its chapter special interest affiliates and at-large members representing the organization in their local communities, cooperating in statewide organizational initiatives, and developing creative strategies to meet the identified and emerging needs and concerns of people who are blind or have low vision. Section 3.4. I went too far, didn't I? In any instances of disagreement over the rules governing this organization, these bylaws shall be the controlling authority. Any situation not covered by these bylaws shall be governed by the latest edition of Robert's Rules of Order. Section 3.5. The president, along with the board of directors, will steer the organization, developing guidelines and policies to ensure responsible governing, maintain organizational stability, and ensure future growth. Section 3.5.1. Guidelines and policies developed and approved by the board of directors will be effective immediately upon approval. However, these guidelines and policies may be challenged and overturned by the membership at any convention following the rules set forth in Section 5.5.3 of these bylaws. Article 4, Affiliation. The California Council of the Blind is an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind, ACB, a national membership organization. Article 5, Convention, Section 5.1. There shall be a regularly scheduled meeting of the California Council of the Blind annually, known as the Conference and Convention, the time and place to be fixed in advance. Any references elsewhere in this or other organizational documents to, quote, convention, unquote, shall be understood to be referring to the conference and convention. The annual convention will demonstrate adherence to an, quote, elastic clause, unquote, meaning that it will adjust to the world's ever-changing digital environment to maintain its effectiveness and credibility. As technology allows, the conference and convention may expand to multiple linked locations. Section 5.2, the members of the California Council of the Blind assembled at CCB's annual convention shall be the supreme authority of the organization. Section 5.2.1. At the beginning of each convention, the membership assembled shall adopt convention rules. Section 5.3. The convention will perform the duties and carry out its responsibilities as follows. Section 5.3.1. Elect officers and directors. Section 5.3.2, receive and discuss reports from the executive director, the president, the treasurer, and other pertinent sources. Section 5.3.3, decide on all matters duly brought before the convention for input or vote. Section 5.3.4, resolve any questions as to its own procedures or voting, including delegates, credentials, or discipline. Section 5.3.5, adopt resolutions embodying organizational policies, strategies, and goals. Section 5.3.6, provide a mutually respectful forum for the full and free expression and exchange of thoughts and concerns among the members. Section 5.4, in performing its responsibilities as set forth above, the convention's voting shall be subject to the following requirements. Section 5.4.1, for votes to be binding, a quorum must exist defined as at least one-third of the chapter or special interest delegates or their alternates, and at least 50 individual voting members being present. We've got to insert that word special. Okay. Section 5.4.2. For analysis of all voting issues to be fair and thorough, time will be allotted for discussion and debate. Section 5.5. In the fulfillment of its responsibilities, the convention shall observe the following margin of votes for its decisions. Section 5.5.1. For amendment of these bylaws, two-thirds. Section 5.5.2. For election of officers and directors, a majority. In the event no majority is achieved, a second round of voting between the top two vote recipients shall be immediately conducted. Section 5.5.3, for rejection of a policy adopted by the board since the last convention, a majority. Section 5.5.4, for adoption of a resolution, a majority. Section 5.5.5, for expulsion of an individual member or chapter, three-fourths, except that no vote on expulsion shall take place without the member or chapter being given the opportunity to offer a defense. Section 5.5.6, for removal of an officer or director, three-quarters. Section 5.5.7, for suspension of a member or chapter, two-thirds. Section 5.5.8, in elections, individual votes will be cast by secret ballot. Delegate votes will be cast by roll call. Section 5.5.9, in the event that 25 members challenge the ruling of the chair on a voice vote, there shall be a roll call / secret ballot vote. Article 6, Officers and Directors. Section 6.1, between conventions and throughout the year in the performance of its duties, CCB shall be governed by its officers and directors. Section 6.2, the officers of this organization are the president, the first and the second vice presidents, secretary, the treasurer, and the immediate past president. Section 6.2.1, the president and the two vice presidents shall be legally blind, and two-thirds of the board shall be legally blind. Section 6.3, all members in good standing are eligible to serve on the board of directors. Section 6.3.1, the board shall consist of 15 persons, 6 officers, and 9 directors. Section 6.3.2, all candidates running for the board are strongly encouraged to submit a candidate statement no less than 45 days prior to the first day of the convention. This does not apply if a seat becomes open during the convention. All candidates will have up to 5 minutes at the time of elections to have up to two people speak on their behalf. Section 6.4. All terms of office shall last for 2 years, commencing on July 1st of the year in which the election was held and ending on June 30th. Section 6.4.1. In the event that the annual convention in any year does not occur before July 1st, terms of office of current members shall continue until the date of such convention. New terms shall begin immediately following the election and will end on the date they or otherwise would have. Section 6.4.2, elections shall be staggered with the president, second vice president, and the treasurer being elected in even-numbered years, the first vice president and the secretary being elected in odd-numbered years. The board election shall likewise be staggered so that four directors are elected in even-numbered years and five directors are elected in odd-numbered years. Section 6.5, officers and directors shall not serve more than three consecutive terms in any given office. Section 6.5.1, an individual who completes an unexpired term shall not be charged with a term for purposes of term limits. Section 6.6, in the event that an officer or director vacates their position prior to the scheduled end of their term, the board shall select a replacement who shall serve for the remainder of the term. Section 6.7. Officers or directors may be censured, suspended, or removed from the board only under certain circumstances and only after a hearing before the board or membership. The board may censure or suspend a board member for cause, but may only remove an officer or director if that person does something illegal or detrimental to the interests of the council. If a board member is removed at the convention, then a special election will immediately follow to elect a replacement. Anyone elected under such circumstances will serve out the remainder of the existing term for this term, and this term will not count as a term for purposes of term limits. If the officer or director is removed between conventions, the position will remain vacant until the next convention, when it will be filled by a regular or special election. Section 6.7.1. When a board member is censured, they will receive written notice of disapproval. They will receive written notice of disapproval and warning that if the offending behavior continues, suspension and/or removal could result. Section 6.7.2. Upon imposition of a suspension, the suspended officer or director forfeits the right to vote as a member of the board, participate in board deliberations, or in any way to be a part of board communications. Section 6.8, the roles of the officers and directors are those consistent with roles practiced across the nonprofit sector and or required by law. Section 6.9, in general, as the leadership body of the organization and to satisfy its fiduciary responsibilities, the board of directors is responsible for Section 6.9.1, proposing membership development by supporting the work and development of chapters. Supporting the work of development of chapters, expanding community partnerships and program expansion, ensuring scrupulous compliance with all government and regulatory requirements, conducting annual board performance reviews, maintaining a relevant conflict of interest and confidentiality policy signed on an annual basis by all board members, and adhering to data security. Section 9.9.2, all people elected or appointed as officers or directors shall commit to serious and sustained engagement in the work of the organization, reflecting commitment of time, talent, or treasure. Section 6.10, the board shall establish such standing or special committees as it deems necessary. Standing committees which exist until and unless terminated by the board, and special committees shall exist for designated periods or pending the completion of the tasks for which they were created. Section 6.10.1, standing committees shall initially include awards, budget and finance, bylaws, governmental affairs, membership, publications, resolutions, resource development, and scholarship. Section 6.10.2, committee appointments shall be made by the president. Any board member or any member of the organization in good standing shall be eligible for appointment to a committee. Section 6.10.3, non-members of the organization may be appointed to special committees under circumstances where their knowledge or expertise not otherwise readily available within the organization are needed, or where in-depth experience not readily available from within the organizational ranks is required. Article 7, Council Membership, Section 7.1, all persons duly recognized by their chapter or affiliate as members in good standing shall automatically be members of the California Council of the Blind. Section 7.2, all persons choosing to join the CCB as members at large who pay their dues directly to CCB and are otherwise in good standing shall have the full rights of membership. Section 7.3, CCB shall have three membership types. Section 7.3.1, active members shall be anyone at least 16 years of age in good standing. 7.3.2, life members shall be persons who have received the status of life membership. Once a person's life membership is fully paid, that person shall not be required by CCB to pay additional state dues to maintain their membership rights. Section 7.3.3, apprentice members shall be individuals under the age of 16 who shall be entitled to all privileges of membership except voting or holding position on the board of directors. Article 8, Chapters and Affiliates. Section 8.1, CCB affiliation consists of local, or regional chapters, and of statewide special interest affiliates. Section 8.1.1. An individual may join more than one chapter, exercising full rights of membership, of voting in each, and paying dues to each, except that for purposes of voting at the annual convention, an individual may cast only one vote on their own behalf. At-large members who join a chapter give up their at-large status. Section 8.2, formation. Section 8.2.1, any group of 10 or more individuals, a majority of whom are blind as determined by self-declaration, may apply for affiliation as a chapter or special interest affiliate of the California Council of the Blind. Section 8.2.2, to be accepted for affiliation as a CPB chapter or statewide special interest affiliate, and to remain in good standing, the group shall, Section 8.2.2.1, submit to the CCB office such information and documentation at such time and in such manner as the council may require. 8.2.2.2, provide such certifications and commitments as the council may deem necessary, including the timely provision of membership, activity, and financial information, and full cooperation in all matters bearing upon legal compliance. Section 8.3, existing chapters and special interest affiliates shall have all incorporated, which have already incorporated themselves under the laws of the state of California, and or which have obtained their own federal, state, tax-exempt certificates will be permitted to maintain those statuses, except that if either status lapses, if either status lapses, the affiliate may not renew it and will instead operate under CCB's corporate and tax-exempt umbrella. Section 8.3.1. New chapters or affiliates seeking funding and program initiatives, and including all benefits, opportunities, and responsibilities of membership, shall extend to all chapters and statewide interest affiliates in good standing and subject to such rules of the council that the council may adopt. Section 8.4.1. Any chapter or statewide interest affiliate not retaining at least 10 members, paren, a majority of whom are blind by self-declaration, paren, for two consecutive years shall be deemed inactive and may be subject to withdrawal of its charter upon vote of the CCB Board of Directors or by the membership at any annual convention. For purposes of determining chapter or statewide interest affiliate membership, the CCB president, who is an ex officio member of all chapters and affiliates, shall not be counted except for any chapters or affiliates where the president has paid dues and that chapter or affiliate in that chapter or affiliate. Section 8.4.2. no funds in the possession or under the ownership or control of any chapter shall inure to the benefit of any individual. In the event of the dissolution or inactivity of any chapter or affiliate, including dissolution as a result of membership decline, its funds and other property shall revert after payment of its debts and obligations to the CCB, except where a different distribution is required by law. Section 8.4.3. All chapters and statewide interest affiliates shall adopt the council's non-inurement requirement in its bylaws or other governing documents, and each chapter and affiliate shall adopt and implement the council's conflict of interest policy. In furtherance of this policy, all chapter and affiliate officers shall sign and pledge adherence to this policy upon assuming office. Section 8.5, voting strength. Section 8.5.1, on all matters coming before the annual convention of the CCB, each chapter shall have a minimum of 5 votes. Once the chapter has more than 25 members, its number of votes will be determined by dividing the total number of members by 5 and rounding to the nearest whole number. Therefore, a chapter with 27 or fewer members has 5 votes, 28 to 32 members, 6 votes, 33 to 37 members, 7 votes, etc. Section 8.5.2, all special interest affiliates shall have 5 votes, regardless of their number of members. Section 8.5.3, if a delegate or alternate delegate is not present or otherwise available to cast the chapter or special interest affiliate's vote, the chapter or special interest affiliate vote shall not be cast. However, each individual chapter or affiliate member in attendance shall retain his or her right to vote as an individual. Section 8.6. Each chapter or statewide special interest affiliate shall collect dues annually from its members in any amount to be determined by the chapter or affiliate. Section 8.6.1. Each chapter or affiliate shall annually pay such portion of member dues or such other funds as may be required to the council office. Such amount is currently $15 per member and chapters for chapters and a 75 flat fee per statewide special interest affiliate. Section 8.7. When a chapter or statewide special interest affiliate violates these bylaws, the board of directors may, by majority vote, suspend the chapter or affiliate for a period no longer than until the next regular council convention. The convention shall then vote on disciplining the chapter or affiliate, with all options ranging from full reinstatement to expulsion open to it as it sees fit, subject to the limitations and the percentage threshold requirements set forth in Article 5 on voting. Article 9, the executive director and staff. Section 9.1, the executive director, ED, is selected by the board and is supervised by the president. The ED is responsible for day-to-day supervision of all other staff. Section 9.2, selection and termination of staff are generally handled in conjunction with the board president, but the ED has the authority to select and discipline all staff up to and including termination from employment with CCB. Section 9.3, the ED is responsible for maintaining internal policies and procedures approved by the board and maintaining compliance with all employment requirements, with all employment requirements and reporting obligations. The ED is also responsible for the creation, implementation, and accountability of routine day-to-day policies and procedures required for smooth organizational operation. Section 9.4, the ED seeks out, negotiates, and manages all contracts and agreements and acts as the signatory of such agreements except where the president is required to do so. Article 10. Yeah.
There might be a couple of sections where it refers to 11 point something.
I know it's 10.
No, oh. But I'm saying in Article 10, there's a couple of spots where I might have missed it. It still refers to Article 11 because of our rearrangement.
Yeah, but it means Article 10. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll read Article 10. Article 10, gifts, bequests, and contracts. Section 10.1. All activities. Did I miss reading the part where it said the board shall vote for the... Yeah, I did. I didn't read that. That's the whole... We changed that, where the board will choose any officer. Oh, right, right.
You read it.
Yes, okay. That means we just... Okay, I can't say anything. You heard it right, in other words, when it said the board will replace all... If there's a vacant, the board will vote. That's including the president. Section 10.1. All activities connected with seeking, receiving, and managing gifts and bequests shall be carried out in accordance with the organization's gift acceptance policy, except as specified in Section 10.4, policies will be developed for dealing with gifts and bequests received prior to the implementation of CCB's gift acceptance policy. What? Section 10.2, except as otherwise specified, all gifts and bequests shall be administered and managed in strict conformance with the highest standards of fiscal accountability, including Section 10.2.1, selection by the treasurer or by such other official as the president may determine of any investment manager whose stewardship shall include... Section 10.2.1, selection by the treasurer or by such other official as the president may determine as any investment manager whose stewardship shall include informing the organization of the benchmarks used to evaluate investment performance, who shall consult with the treasurer or other designated representative in the selection of suitable investments, who shall adhere to a fiduciary standard in the allocation of organizational assets and in the furnishing of advice, and who shall cooperate in ensuring that information and options made available to the treasurer and board are accessible to persons who are blind or have low vision. Section 10.2.2, the treasurer shall report to the board at such intervals and in such detail as the board may direct on the performance of other details concerning gift and bequest funds. Section 10.4, the council... Section 10.3, but Gabe knows this document by heart.
I'm not even reading, I'm just listening.
The council hereby provides for the creation of an endowment fund for the purpose of soliciting and investing funds for use in promoting the purposes of the council as set forth in Article 2 of these bylaws. The name of the fund shall be the Newell Perry Endowment Trust. The trust shall be administered by a board of trustees comprised of three trustees. Section 10.3.1. Three trustees shall be selected by the board of directors of the California Council of the Blind. Should a trustee resign or be incapacitated for any reason, such trustee shall be replaced by the council board of directors. Section 10.3.2. The trustees shall serve without compensation. Their duties shall be to accept, receive, and hold, invest, and reinvest contributions to the Newell Perry Endowment Trust with interest thereon and additions and accretions thereto, and such other income that might accrue. Upon the order of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind, the trustees shall pay out and distribute the earned income for the purposes set forth in this article. The Board of Directors shall not order the expenditure of the corpus unless an amendment is adopted for that purpose as provided in Article 12. Amendment? That's amendments, right?
Yeah.
Article 12 of these bylaws. Section 10.3.3. The trustees shall comply with the provisions of the California Business and Professions Code regulating charitable solicitations and shall file such reports as may be necessary to obtain or maintain approval of the tax-exempt status of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust, California Council of the Blind, with the Internal Revenue Service and the State of California Franchise Tax Board. Section 10.3.4. The Council Board of Directors shall determine at any regular meeting whether the trustees will be bonded and what amount to guarantee the faithful performance of their duties or whether the trustees shall serve without bond. If the council board of directors takes no action on this point subject, the trustees shall serve without bond. But if bond is required, then bond premiums shall be paid from the Newell Perry Endowment Trust funds. Section 10.3.5, the trustees shall account to the council board of directors quarterly, providing such information as the board shall direct. All solicitations and investments shall be subject to the approval or ratification of the board. No expenditure of trust funds shall be made unless two trustees shall sign therefor. Section 10.3.6, the Board of Trustees, with the approval of the Council Board of Directors, may adopt such rules and regulations consistent with the provisions of this article as they may deem advisable for the administration of the trust funds. Section 10.3.7. In case any funds are donated for a specific purpose within the meaning or use of these trust funds, the wishes of the donor shall be respected as far as possible. Section 10.3.8. The trustees shall prepare a report to the membership at the council's annual convention. Section 10.4. Funds received by the organization pursuant to contracts, grants, or otherwise for the conduct of specified organizational activities and to be used within specified periods of time shall be administered in accordance with the conditions and reporting requirements applicable to their receipt, but shall not comprise any part of the organization's gifts and bequests portfolio. Article 11, resolutions. We're getting there, folks. All resolutions to come before the convention must be submitted to the resolutions committee at least 30 days prior to the first day of the convention. Any CCB member in good standing may submit a resolution for consideration. Article 12, amendments. These bylaws may be amended at the annual conference and convention, provided that the proposed amendment has been submitted to the bylaws committee at least 60 days and disseminated to the membership at least 30 days prior to the first day of the convention. Article 13, dissolution of the council. I'm almost ready for that. The California Council of the Blind is organized pursuant to the general nonprofit corporation laws of the state of California. The property of the council is irrevocably dedicated to charitable purposes, and in the event of liquidation, dissolution, or abandonment of the council after providing for the debts and obligations thereof, the remaining assets will not inure to the benefit of any private person, but will be dispersed to the American Council of the Blind. However, should such dispersal not be possible, these assets will be disposed of in such manner as may be dictated by a decree of the Superior Court of the county in which the council's agent of service of process is located. Upon petition, therefore, to the Attorney General or any person concerned with the liquidation, dissolution, or abandonment in proceedings to which the Attorney General shall be a party with special emphasis given, unless otherwise stipulated in accordance with the laws of the State of California, to contribute such assets to another California charitable organization having similar or identical goals as does this organization. The end. You know, in all seriousness, I had not thought anybody would stay, and I am so impressed with the number that are still in this room. That would be such a good idea. But we don't have any.
Yes, your door prize.
The room or the poor AV guy who wants
the
to
door prize is that we are now all welcome to walk out the door.
Yeah.
And thank you to Judy for reading all of those. We'd still be here for another hour and a half if I had been trying to read them. All right, folks. That concludes the first reading of these bylaws. It also concludes the business for this second general session. So I declare us in recess until tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. Or maybe it's today. I haven't looked.